when he announced that his party would abandon negotiations after failing to reach accords on basic issues, among them immigration. The Greens, while agreeing to the government proposal to set a limit on annual arrivals to 200,000, demanded that those refugees currently in Germany be allowed to be reunited with their families, a point the other parties rejected. Ms. Merkel admitted more than 1 million asylum seekers since 2015, sparking a backlash that allowed the far-right AfD party to win its first seats in parliament. The right-wing group celebrated the breakdown in talks this week. Another point of contention was the environment, with the Greens demanding dirty coal and combustion engine cars be phased out, while the Conservatives and FDP emphasized the need to protect industry and jobs. The Greens said they, through a deal, could have been made despite differences and accused the pro-business FDP of negotiating in bad faith. AFP of France reports Germany now faces weeks, if not months, of paralysis with a lame duck government that is unlikely to take bold policy action at home or on the European stage. With no other viable coalition in sight, Germany may be forced to hold new elections that risk being as inconclusive as September's polls. Spanish agency EFE reports, after Chancellor Merkel's attempt to form a coalition with the Liberals and the Greens failed on Sunday, the leader of Germany's Social Democrats, the SPD, Martin Schulz, on Monday ruled out a repeat of the grand coalition it had once formed with Chancellor Merkel and called for new elections. He told reporters, "We maintain that the sovereign citizens of this country should be able to evaluate the situation. We won't run from repeat elections. Given the results of the September 24th, we're not going to be available to enter into a grand coalition."
If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
You know, he get mad. I didn't even listen to the whole shit. Because like I said, I already see that rhetoric coming from a mile away from these Kemet Afrocentric niggas and shit. And the funny thing about these dudes, you know, when you look at how long they've been teaching down in the community, these motherfuckers have been teaching in the community for a long time. And as of yet, have not brought no practical teachings, nothing practical that black people can apply yet. No nation building, no institutions. Just a bunch of fucking rhetoric and a dashiki and shit. That's the only thing these niggas have brought to the community. And they want to keep on shitting on these so-called people within the religious community or the people that adhere to that sect and shit. You know what I'm saying? Which is completely anti-African if you're going to talk about African and shit. You know, African people don't try to control other people's spirituality. You know what I'm saying? But that's a whole nother subject.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro?
Huh?
And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart of the region.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Order. Yes, exceptionally, I will take the point of order now. If members who are leaving the chamber would be good enough to do so quickly and quietly. It's quite unaccountable if they don't wish to hear the Honourable Gentleman, the Member for Cardiff South and Penarth, but there's no accounting for taste. And that would all greatly avail us. Point of order, Mr. Stephen Doughty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and for exceptionally taking this. You may not be aware, Mr. Speaker, nor others in the House, but it appears that the President of the United States has in recent moments been retweeting comments from a far-right organisation, Britain First, highly inflammatory videos, including some posted by an individual who I believe has recently been arrested and charged relating to certain serious offences. And I wondered whether you had noticed, Mr. Speaker, of any intended statement by the Home Secretary or the Foreign Secretary on this very serious matter.
I confess I have no advance notice of this matter. I am not myself one who tends to follow what is said on Twitter, though the Honourable Gentleman is almost invariably very well informed on these matters. But the Home Secretary is in her place, and if she wants to say anything, she's welcome to do so, but she's under absolutely no obligation to do so whatsoever. But the Right Honourable Lady is not hailing a taxi. Oh, very well. In deference to the seniority of the Right Honourable Lady in the House. If she's got a point of order to raise, of course I'll hear it.
Further to that point of order, Mr. Speaker, I understand that the woman in question has indeed already been convicted of hate crime in this country. And on that basis, given the significance and the seriousness of having the President of the United States giving her such a huge platform, does he not think it would be appropriate for us to hear some word of condemnation and raising this from the Home Secretary or the Foreign Secretary?
It's not Katie Hopkins yet. Well, it's a point of order for the Chair, and I can say only to the Right Honourable Lady that at the moment, as it will be very obvious to her and to her Honourable friend, I've received no advance notice of any intention to make a statement, and it would be order, and it would order. It would be wrong to expect a government minister immediately to respond. The Home Secretary, to be fair, is under no obligation to do so. What I would say is that I do know the Honourable Gentleman for Cardiff South and Penarth now very well, and if anything, I know the Right Honourable Lady, because we came into the House together 20 years ago, even better. And knowing them as well as I do, I know that when they've got their teeth into something, they are disinclined to let go. And by the way, that's a compliment. So I think we'll leave it there for now, but I rather imagine this matter will probably be mentioned again.
Internet radio for smarter than original.
The intelligent, radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, Salaton and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the people of the fourth world from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com, as well as our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And along with my executive co-producer and master studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, we welcome you back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the official broadcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, coming straight at you from Everyman Studios in Chinookan People's Territories, occupied North America. So, yeah, you know, where do we begin? I mean, fuck, man, you know, where... I'm really, at this point, I don't know what the fuck more to say. I mean, really, you know, I don't know what more to fucking say about the sexual allegation charges that are flying around, other than what I've been saying. And it's really fucking funny because I'm getting my ass kicked up around my, you know, up around my shoulders, right, Luke? You know, it's really fucking funny because here it is. We've been talking about this issue here. I couldn't get women to talk about the issue on the mic, right? For the usual reasons. It's difficult to fucking talk about. Not knowing how I'm going to handle it. Listening to previous shows and wondering what the fuck I'm going to do. I mean, we had a thing here about interracial relationships. Sulu Panther, he's been on the show, our Fenonian expert, Malachi Daniels, you know who I'm talking about. We had a sister on who I respect. I still follow her on Twitter, which is where I usually find my interview subjects. So if you have any suggestions or you think that you have something to say, especially when I bring up certain subjects, if you have an opinion, you know, get in contact and maybe you can be on the show. But you can definitely follow me at The Angry Indian. And you can always follow our news feed, which is automated, of course, at Aboriginal Press. This is all one word. But drop me a line at number 4, 4th World Radio@gmx.pt. This is the email address. I'll say it again because I understand that people get very, very confused, which is one of the reasons why we don't give it out. And then Lupe and I wonder why we don't get email. But then again, you know, we have issues, or at least I personally have issues with email. But, you know, get in contact with us. Fourthworldradio@gmx.pt. That's number 4, thworldradio@gmx.pt. So drop us a line. And of course, you know, aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com, ang.newswire.blogspot.com, aboriginalpress.wordpress.com. Okay, so you can get in contact with us, right? And you can also find this show at generadio.wordpress.com. So, we've realized that people are listening to the broadcast, that they're passing out this thing, they're sending the file to people, they're playing it. There's a couple of people I understand to listen to it at work on the East Coast, somewhere in Connecticut, some shit. You know, okay, cool. That's all cool. So, you know, that's the info with that. But yeah, you know, I've been having my ass kicked up around my shoulders in the past few weeks because I'm not just buying into everything. And what I mean by that, and of course, language is everything, right? But what I'm talking about is, we just saw this shit here this morning on our way in here. Lupe and I. Project Veritas. Now, those of you who are not really conscious of what the fuck the, you know, how propaganda works. You know, propaganda in and of itself is not a bad thing. You know, when you see posters, at least I remember this as a child, you know, wash your hands after using the restroom. And, you know, it's someone literally washing, you know, an illustration of someone washing their hands. So they show you a film, as they used to do when I was in grade school, you know, washing their hands, you know, how to be clean. That's propaganda. But it's good propaganda. You know, I mean, that's a hygienic issue. You know, people do not wash their hands. They get sick. They pass on these illnesses. The entire community gets sick. Yeah, I know the anti-vaxxers have a whole other view of that shit. But, you know, they're not... They're like people who believe in flat earth. And we're going to get to that, too. Because that's part of this motherfucking discussion. And, no, we're going to try to not be in here too long. Because, frankly, we don't have the money, and well, we don't have the time, and we don't have the money, right? Again, we don't talk about this stuff here too much, but, you know, people are, oh, Hug Me, I haven't done a show. Well, you know, funds are tight. Her and I both. Both in our different households had trouble paying the rent the past couple of months. So, you know, it's not that we don't give a fuck about this show. It's just we don't always have time and the resources wish to do this. But we're not asking you for anything. We don't have a script, but, you know, and this is what we do. And frankly, we're frustrated. And frankly, longtime listeners are aware. I'm really getting tired of doing this program. I mean, I've been doing this shit since 2001. I'm kind of beat. You know, especially when we're going nowhere. And frankly, you may not even hear this motherfucking show after a while, because it seems that with net neutrality out the fucking window, you know, our distributor may not be able to fucking distribute. In any way, shape, or form. You know, I mean, no matter what we choose, you know, however you reach this broadcast, it's entirely possible with this some two-lane bollocks that they're talking, that you may not be able to hear programs like this. Which is all the more motherfucking reason that you need to do something. But again, you know, flat earth. We're going to get into this. When we talk about extreme, dangerous, and stupid fucking attitudes. You know, a few things have happened since I've spoken to you, all of you last. And frankly, I don't even know where to begin. And it's like, you know, really, frankly, Luke, I'm coming off, I know how I sound. I'm just irritated and frustrated and tired with everything. Well, you know, first off, let me just get this off my chest. You know, I'm not going to name this person. Actually, let me go back to the other Twitter story. And I'm sorry. Roll with me. We had a sister up here. I'm not going to name her. She was up with Malachi Daniels and I. And we were talking about interracial relationships. Now that I think about it, this leads into what I was talking about, right? Well, I was going to talk about, right? She took this as an anti-female attack, actually. Because, you know, afterwards, after she listened to it, I mean, this is what she said, you know, to me, that she felt that she was being attacked. And she, and if you go into the archives, you listen to the show, it's pretty obvious. I tried to mediate, and we were both trying to explain ourselves. But, you know, it wasn't, black women are fucked up for dating white men. I'm certainly not going to fucking say that. I'm certainly not going to goddamn say that. You know, I mean, you know, part of the reason I'm doing the show the way, you know, I just left Gresham and had some tense words with some people who are upset with Taye Diggs. They're upset with Kanye. I mean, upset with Kanye West over Kardashian, but they're not upset with him with his Confederate flag bullshit, you know, and some of the other dumb shit that he's done and said. And then said, you know, make a good statement about Bush doesn't give a fuck about black people and then takes it back. We're going to talk about that, too, in terms of Pocahontas and Native Americans. I mean, I'm trying to get all my thoughts here together because there's just a lot of shit that is on my mind. But I want to have women come up here and talk about the shit that they go through dealing with men. I mean, I have told you, you know, my social circle, you know, is small. Primarily, and I hate to fucking say this because it comes off sounding like some real time shit, but I've been honest with everybody about that too from the first motherfucking show on. I'm mixed. I'm one of those motherfuckers that goes in between communities and shit, so you expect me to be super black, super native, you know, super Jewish if you want to push that bullshit, super fucking Filipino. It's not gonna happen. And I've tried to be fundamentalist about a lot of shit, except the Jewish thing, to some motherfucking degree most of my life. And most people of color have done this. Remember, you know, before Lisa Bonet, you know, got some light on the goddamn Cosby show, if we're going to talk about sexual assault, you got to talk about Bill Cosby, right? How a black conservative got away with that shit, and the black community let him get away with it. How Rick Ross is still fucking has a career after singing about it. How R. Kelly's still going on and has a motherfucking career. Nobody's saying anything. And that's just them I'm talking about. There's others. I'm talking about the contradictions that we have.
And then because we have these contradictions and nobody can talk about them, and because people have gone through bullshit that they can't necessarily talk about, they can't necessarily articulate, but at the same time, we're prisoners of our time and space, and we only articulate shit within the fucking context of the time. One of the reasons why I'm like this is that I have a lot of fucking white people coming up to me now talking about, oh, sexual assault. When I tried to get them to talk about this shit before it blew out with Weinstein, nobody wanted to talk about it. I couldn't get men to talk about it at fucking all. And I got called all kinds of punks. I'm not a real nigga. I'm not a real motherfucker. I'm only doing this for pussy points. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Most of the men that I do fucking deal with, you know, we're all married, frankly. We're all married. And we don't have punk wives that, you know, just go for any goddamn thing. And I wasn't raised in a household like that. So, you know, I talk about this shit. I have females that are friends of mine, not former lovers, friends of mine, who have sat and told me the shit that they've gone through. I also got a fucking bunch of sisters who have told me the shit that they've gone through. So it's not so much I'm sensitive or I'm trying to be a fucking good guy. I'm knowledgeable about the fucking bullshit that goes on. And then, like I said, when you live in a fucking bubble like me, and I'm serious about this, because, you know, a couple of people, you know, early today and a couple of days ago, frankly, Lucas, I didn't tell you about this encounter, you know, are still, you know, beefing with me over the Copernic shit, because I'm calling them hypocrites, because that's what the fuck they are. They're out here talking this black power shit, but then, you know, calling Copernic as a half a nigga. And then it came out that, yes, that's how they really feel about me when I'm not around. Yeah, it came out. And not that I didn't already know this. You understand? You know, while I've lost jobs and actually challenged physically the motherfucking Klan and shit and gotten into my motherfucking bumps doing direct goddamn action, and I couldn't get a black motherfucker nowhere around me at that goddamn time to come to me to any of these motherfucking actions to challenge these motherfuckers at all. Okay? And I'm not just talking about political fucking actions. I'm talking about on the job, on campus, in the pub. You know, you get a whole lot of motherfuckers to talk all this black power shit when there's one punk ass, not really racist white dude who they know they can fucking whip his ass, and it's like, you know, three or four fucking brothers or more. I'm calling it the way I see it. You know, more Uncle Toms, if you want to call us that, slash assimilationist, where I guess that maybe I lean somewhat. The only thing is, though, you know, white people motherfucking think I hate all white folks. You know, I mean, this is some bullshit that I go through. The white people around me think I hate them because they're fucking white. Because when they get drunk, this is what they tell me. Okay? When they fucking get high and shit, this is what they tell me. They think that I think that they're stupid white people. And I'm like, where the fuck do you get this from? Well, the shit that you say. Well, I bring out the contradictions around this. What the fuck? Read France Fanon, read Malcolm X, you'll understand where I'm coming from. Read any of the Afrocentrists, you know, from Africa. You know, I mean, you know, that's where I'm, you know, Thomas Sankara, that's where the fuck I'm coming from. I'm talking about Ghana and shit, you know, that's where the fuck I'm coming from. Not this bullshit here, man. Rawlings, you know, that's what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm not just dropping the name of motherfucking Lumumba. I'm talking about what Patrice Lumumba fucking really rep a goddamn scented and why he's dead. And why you motherfuckers are talking about the Illuminati and what is it, B.O.B.? Is that what the fuck he called him? Because I don't listen to rap. But the only reason I even know about this motherfucker here, man, because he's a fool. He's a rapper, which has nothing to do with anything. You know, I mean, that's not why I'm saying this. But he's an idiot. He denies the motherfucking Holocaust. He believes that the earth is flat. And instead of trying to get black men out of prison who are wrongfully fucking convicted, he started a GoFundMe to get the money to prove that the earth is flat. And he denies the European fucking Holocaust. What the fuck? And when Neil deGrasse Tyson, who, you know, I've talked about this shit on the motherfucking show, I'm still in shock that there are black and female scientists and non-white scientists that I see on these, documentaries that I watch. And I'm not just talking about TED Talks. I'm talking about this shit because I like physics. And, you know, there's a lot of fucking things I see, man, that I never in my fucking life thought I'd see. Ever. I never thought I'd see a black scientist except in my goddamn dreams. I never thought I'd see women talking about fucking string theory. You know, I mean, it's an amazing goddamn time. And I'm sure that there were pockets like this in human history in the past, but we don't know about them. Right? I mean, women have been completely written out of motherfucking history. And let's just talk about, you know, in terms of history, they just write you the fuck out if you're not the one writing the book. So because of that fact, motherfuckers rewrite shit the way that they goddamn want to. And this is where I'm coming from. I understand, sister. You know, I mean, I listened back to the show more than a couple of dozen goddamn times and played it for women that was really that were willing to sit and evaluate the show with me. And she came in tense, obviously, and she came in believing that she was going to, you know, be discriminated against. You know, and that's my opinion, because when you listen to this, nobody challenged, well, we challenged her, but nobody attacked her on being female. You know, our question was, and it still goddamn stands. You know, I still say this. Out of all of the white men I know that are married to Asians, and they're both married to the Filipinos, they're respectful. Every other motherfucker I've known that was married to an Asian woman that was white was mean to his fucking wife. And around us, when, you know, she wasn't present, they would actually make racist, Asian racist fucking comments. So, you know, I mean, this is what I fucking know for a goddamn fact. So nobody can tell me. And then, my Filipinan, right? When I deal with, you know, people in my own community, and I just talked to about a fortnight ago, the two Asian fellows, they were both in their 30s, who are telling me they're still having a hard time meeting Asian women. And we've talked about this on the show over the years, too, and I've written about it in the past. That anywhere between 60-70% of Asian women in the United States refuse. Not like, oh, well, you know, there's no Asian men out here, this, that, and the other. They flat out are fully admitting that they refuse. They refuse to date, let alone marry, another Asian man, whether it's from their ethnic or national background or any other. You know, and in the Philippine community now, I mean, you know, there's always been a thing with, you know, pushing your daughter to marry a Joe, an American Joe, and hoping that this guy will be rich and send you money. And, you know, anybody that's saying that I'm being fucked up and saying that right now, well, I guess you don't know what the fuck it's like to be poor, because poor communities do this all over the goddamn world. I don't give a fuck where you come from. You're goddamn right. They push their fucking daughters to marry somebody wealthy, hoping that that fucking wealth will trickle the fuck down. I mean, you got to be kidding me to say that this doesn't goddamn happen. This is what I'm talking about. You see, we're not real about any motherfucking thing. Something else that I got into an argument with a lot of fucking people about. The Me Too campaign. You know, I'm kind of pissed that I'm just hearing about the Me Too campaign because of Alyssa Milano. You know, I follow her on Twitter, and she's worth following because she's very politically active. And I don't know exactly when she found out about this shit. But, you know, until... you know, I'm just going to say, until a white celebrity who's political decided to pay attention to that tag, nobody gave a fuck. I didn't know anything. I mean, I heard that the woman was black and, you know, I hadn't seen anything, right? And then I'm watching Democracy Now! Over coffee one morning with Ms. Angry Indian, with my wife. And I'm just going to tell you straight the fuck out here, man. You know, I'm not here to bullshit anybody, but let's be fucking real. Let's be real about society, and let's be real about how the fuck we are as people in terms of whatever beauty standards we accept. If the woman who started the Me Too hashtag is the woman that I saw, because I don't remember her name, and don't bother to pull it up because I'll get caught up in another tangent. Lou, thanks though. Yeah, thanks. But you know who I'm talking about. Sister, let's be honest. If she looked like Beyonce, if she looked like Kim Kardashian, if she looked like Rose McGowan, if she looked like any of the Megyn Kelly, if she looked like any of them, we would have heard about Me Too a hell of a lot earlier. There would have been action on this shit a hell of a lot motherfucking earlier. And we wouldn't be at the point where we're at now, And I know people are mad with me, but I said that this was going to fucking happen. I'm sorry, but I told you. I'm here to fucking tell you that I warned you about this shit. When you don't check a motherfucking thing, what ends up happening is then you start to motherfucking really deal with it, and then you go fucking overboard and it becomes a witch hunt. And then all kinds of bullshit pours in. And then we never want to talk, I mean, that now we're going to talk about sexual assault. But see, here's what gets me. We're going to talk about sexual assault and point to Al Frankenstein, right? Or Steen, right? We're going to talk about Weinstein. Weinstein gives millions of dollars to the Democratic Party. Senator Al Franken is a Democrat. Just about everybody that they've picked on is a Democrat. For some reason, George Takei has been named, but I haven't heard anything more. You know, there's been certain favorite people that they've been named. They've been listed, but we're not talking about them. And if you notice, Trump is Teflon on this shit. And Roy Moore, well, hey, he's going through some embarrassment, I guess. But, you know, nobody's able to stop this motherfucker. I mean, here it is. He was banned from a fucking YMCA or YWCA, whatever the fuck, because he's fucking, you know, he was a predator creeping on the motherfucking young women there. They banned him from the fucking mall for the exact same fucking activity. He's in his motherfucking mid-30s doing this shit. He's the fucking DA goddamn down there. His current wife, he met her when she was 15. What the fuck more evidence do you need? Now, imagine if that was a nigga. Or imagine if that was a spick. Or imagine if that was a chink. Or imagine if that was a Indian. Okay? Or imagine if that was some other ethnic group. And you pick a slur, because right now Pocahontas is in the air, right? You pick one that you motherfucking like right now. One that pisses you off. That relates to your motherfucking people. Who are not Anglo-fucking Saxon, right? Protestant whites. You know, it's like, here it is. Brock Turner gets off. Trump is now saying that the fucking audio of him saying what he said is not him. Even though Billy Bush was sitting right there and got fired for saying, yeah, he said that and I didn't challenge him. I probably should have challenged him. I didn't challenge him. And I'm saying, fellas, be honest with yourselves. How many motherfuckers say off-color shit like that and we don't say anything? I'm not going to fucking lie. I've chuckled along with that bullshit. I mean, you know, sometimes in a comedic sense, off-color jokes, adult jokes are just that, adult motherfucking jokes. But the shit that he was saying, of course, wasn't, it was off color, but was that shit a joke? No, he was talking about the fucking power that men like him actually have. And I talked about this the last couple of goddamn broadcasts. Anybody who's ever been to the types of fucking parties that I've ever been to, and some of you who are goddamn squares are simply not going to understand what the fuck I'm talking about, so there's no point. All right, just listen to what the fuck I'm saying. When you got money, when you're the head of a motherfucking major company, when you got money, you can do that bullshit, and it's part of the fucking culture up there. And people who go clubbing and shit like that know what the fuck I'm talking about. There's all kinds of goddamn, everybody's got a fucking cell phone now. So there's all kinds of embarrassing goddamn pictures of licking and kissing and grabbing. A whole lot of pussy grabbing out there. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. But obviously that's consensual. Right? Or at least we hope it is. Because, you know, that's the whole point about alcohol flowing. That's why they tell you not to fucking do dope when you're fucking around with somebody. You're best doing that shit sober. Right? I mean, you know, obviously after so many thousands of years, we finally come to that understanding. You probably shouldn't. You know? And then again, you know, the sexy and then there's, you know, predatory, creepy bullshit. But of course, you need experience to understand a lot of this. You're not going to fucking, you know, understand this when you're green. That's just the fucking what is. You're going to have to grow the fuck up. But see, you know, this is the contradictions that I'm talking about. You know, that JonBenet Ramsey motherfucking case never got goddamn solved. You noticed that, right? And you remember the how they flew that motherfucker over from Thailand. I mean, you know, Ms. Angry, and they're still talking about that shit. On how whatever the Bush administration was doing at that time, it just got totally distracted by the JonBenet Ramsey case. And what I remember about it was that black people were saying, how the fuck does somebody's daughter die? And the wife gets one lawyer and the husband gets another lawyer. You know, the mother gets one lawyer, the husband gets another, I mean, the father gets another lawyer. And the local authorities are claiming we have to drop the case because it's too big for us to handle. when you got black people sitting in prison on no motherfucking evidence. Troy Anthony Davis went to the fucking death chamber on zero motherfucking physical evidence. And the real killer, who everybody knows who he is, we all know his name, he's still walking around. He's still walking around. Right? A cop got shot. So somebody had to pay witch hunt. We don't give a fuck who we get. We're just going to get him. Because one of the reasons why I'm saying this, Luke, because you and I both have been hearing this, is because I've been talking about this to you for a while. I know a lot of women. And fucking, there are some people, they've been hurt. They've been hurt so goddamn bad, which is kind of where I was going to with Sister. I don't know her case, and don't assume that what I'm saying has anything to do in a broad sense with anybody that I'm mentioning here, whether I mention their names or not. It's that you got people walking around with a lot of pain, man, and they can't admit it. They can't deal with it. They can't get help. And in the black community, let's be goddamn honest. If you're hurting, you can't say nothing to nobody. Same thing in the goddamn Native community. It's a problem. When you're suffering, you can't say shit to anybody. You got to fucking walk with that. You got to live with it. This is why people are drinking and drugging and, yes, having reckless fucking sex, because they're trying to cope. They're trying to deal. And like I said, we're going to talk about sexual assault and abuse and shit and rape. Let's do that. But let's go after the motherfuckers who are actually fucking doing this. Let's start looking at the top goddamn man. He was connected to the assault of a 13-year-old. If that was Barack Obama, you'd still be fucking hearing about it. They would be demanding not only his removal, they would probably be calling for him to be not just impeached. They would have been calling for him to fucking get the ultimate goddamn punishment, right? So here it is. You got Trump, the head of a party. I mean, the fact that people forgot that the GOP under Todd Akin was a senator over Congress or whatever the fuck. Todd Akin talking about legitimate rape. Unless it's a legitimate rape, the woman doesn't get pregnant unless it's a legitimate rape. But we can't say any goddamn thing. Nobody said a fucking thing. Daniel Holtzclaw, that goddamn cop in Oklahoma. The Hopper cop. Yeah, him. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. You get mad because I said Hopper. I'm saying that because the point is, he wasn't white. According to white standards, he wasn't motherfucking white. Right? They dropped him once he got convicted. But let's remember something. We know about 20 some odd fucking women he attacked. There were probably more. And it's just that the only reason we know about this son of a bitch is because the last woman he attacked, she was just like, I'm not going to let you get away with this shit. And she continued to push her case so others came out. Where was Me Too in terms of the white mainstream support for that? See, the other contradiction I have here, before I go on, because I was going to say Megyn Kelly, and I might as well mention Megyn Kelly because she's a fucking hypocrite. I mean, she got how many millions of dollars from Fox News for a sexual harassment case when she worked for a fucking firm? And I suppose if I go through YouTube, I can find fucking instances where she has demeaned women, not just from Fox News, but I mean just across the board.
The process followed is consistent with federal requirements. Megan.
That may be the problem. Our next guest has followed every turn in this case. Casey Johnson is a professor of history at Brooklyn College and is co-author of Until Proven Innocent, which is about the shameful injustices of the Duke lacrosse rape hoax. Thank you for being here. It's hard to understand how wrong things went here. A woman accuses a man of raping her 21 months after the alleged rape. She never went to the medical authorities. She never went to the police. She gets aligned with victims' rights advocates, and her friends turn their backs on her because the person who allegedly raped her was her roommate's boyfriend. The injustice of the process that happened at Amherst once her case went through the authorities is where things get really awful. Explain how it is set up to protect, not the accused, but the rights of the accuser.
Can be exonerated.
You're done. Once you are accused, You're done. You can't have a lawyer in there representing you. And the rules say don't allow the accused to cross-examine the accuser because it could be intimidating and threatening for her. Well, she might be a liar. She might deserve a little intimidation if she is lying, as it certainly sounds the alleged victim in this case did. Talk about the evidence. Okay, so first of all, this guy, John Doe, got expelled. He said, not only did I not rape this girl, she did a sex act to me that I did not consent to. He got expelled. And then after he got expelled, how did he get all these emails, which we're going to get into?
Produced these text messages.
The emails are, I mean, make very clear. This is after her alleged rape, her alleged sexual assault by John Doe, who was thrown out of school. She texts a resident advisor. Oh my God, I just did something so effing stupid. Response: what did you do? I effed John Doe. The resident advisor: no, you didn't. And then she goes on and says, official story is he puked and I took care of him, but yes, I did. Then after that, this is her talking about her alleged rape. Then after that, she texts another man and asks that man to come over. And why don't you tell the audience how she represented, why she said she needed that second man's company on the night in question, what she told the board evaluating her sexual assault claim. Why is he just talking to me? Like, hot girl in a slutty dress, make your move. Yeah. And then she sends a text message saying, oh my God, action did not happen till 5 in the effing morning. Then when it came out that, you know, this might not look very good and that her roommate might be upset that she had performed a sex act on the roommate's boyfriend, she decides to say, my roommate knows me. It's pretty obvious I wasn't an innocent bystander. My head is going to explode. How's this girl get a guy thrown out of school based on this?
To totally diminish and demean and minimize what the fuck they said. This is why I have no fucking sympathy for any woman who worked at Fox who stayed there. That bullshit about, well, she needed her job. Well, a lot of us need our goddamn jobs. So then you might as well excuse police abuse. They need their jobs. That's why they had to shoot Philando Castile as many times as they did, and then threatened to fucking kill his daughter and wife. And yeah, I'm getting tired of fucking middle class snotty black people telling me that they weren't married. Fuck you. They were living together. They were raising that child together. They were fucking married. So what the fuck, they shacked up. You know, see, this is what gets me. The contra goddamn ditchings, you see. This is what gets me. And see, this is why I'm talking about with JonBenet Ramsey. I mean, you know, it's a terrible fucking thing what happened to that little girl. But see, this shit happens, you know, I mean, you got fucking black kids that are missing all the time. But they waited till a fucking hashtag came around. Why am I saying this? Because when I talked about motherfucking human trafficking, when I talked about, hey, man, you know, this Native American women missing on the motherfucking Canadian-U.S. border. Murdered and missing indigenous women. When I talk about the indigenous women who speak Spanish on the U.S.-Mexican border that are missing, I can't get anybody to fucking talk about it. And like I've said on this goddamn broadcast, I couldn't get black people to fucking talk about missing black women and black kids. Some of us remember the Atlanta child murders. Some of us remember the cat that got named with, you know, from that shit. A lot of people still don't believe that he's actually the fucking guilty one. He's, if I remember correctly, they kind of pinned that shit on him. We still really don't know, I don't think, about what happened. I mean, I could be totally wrong. It's been a long time since I looked that shit up. But see, you know, they wait to the mainstream fucking press gets to it before they start taking it seriously. Like I said, it's more fucking, you know, interest in the Illuminati and about whether the earth is flat and about whether vaccines are killing black people or out here, you know, to give black males cancer of the penis and all these kinds of dumbass fucking theories you hear. You know, this is where a lot of people who need the information that I'm talking about, like, oh, how many black folks have told me, oh, net neutrality doesn't mean shit to me. Yes, it does. Yes, it fucking does. In terms of having access to motherfucking relevant information, shit that you can check and verify on your motherfucking own. So that means if you don't, well, first off, you got to have money to even have a fucking device.
be it a computer or a phone or whatever, to even get on the motherfucking internet. You know, that's the first goddamn thing. See, that leaves out a whole lot of fucking people right there. You know, I mean, most native folks still don't have fucking phone service in Indian country. So that leaves the internet out for them completely. I mean, there's so many black communities that have no internet service at all. And what little internet service they do have, a lot of folks are still on dial-up. But no, you're going to start a this rapper is going to start a GoFundMe to motherfucking prove that the earth is flat, rather than see to it that his motherfucking people have relevant information. Do you see Jay-Z or whatever doing this? No, they pick 12 girls a year to go to some special school, like Oprah. She picks her 10 or 12 girls a year that she sends to Africa or some shit, right? You know, so what are you doing? All you're doing is trying to replicate what the fuck you see happening in Empire. You got the goddamn color dynamics, the same shit you see in Spanish language, motherfucking Latin American television. Who are the uniformed cops? Who are the street sweepers? Who are the fucking maids? Who are the people who work in the markets and shit and the butchers and the sanitation workers? When you watch the news down there, do they reflect Peru, Chile, Uruguay, Paraguay? No. They reflect the Europeans. They reflect the Calistinianos down there. You know, television in Puerto Rico, even the Dominican Republic. Same thing. Same thing. I mean, shit, you just saw the same thing with the fucking Miss Universe contest. You know, they picked the whitest ones. And everybody, yes, right, Luke. And everybody's all excited now that this mixed race sister is engaged to Prince the Nazi Harry. The racist Harry, you know, calling people ragheads and shit. You know, I mean, look, if she looked like the woman who started the Me Too goddamn campaign, do you think, you know, that the royal family would be elated by this shit? Do you think the English would be cool with this shit? Do you think black people, and I'm saying it like this because it's true, do you think that black folks should be trying to take credit now and talking about, oh, we're going to have royalty and you know, we're going to take over the motherfucker? I mean, I'm hearing some dumb bullshit out here. I'm hearing some dumb bullshit. You know, it's just like the idea of Idris Elba, the Afro-British actor, that if he was to become the next James Bond, because, you know, they've already made Miss Moneypenny, she's black now. Right, so I guess that just removes all of the colonialist and imperialist shit that they've been doing in Africa and around the world, right? Because Miss Moneypenny is black now. So the idea is if they make, you know, James Bond black, then I guess somehow that just makes everything okay. I mean, that's what happened to Africa in the first goddamn place. You know, these borders and shit that you see were created by white people. In many cases, the names and shit are by white people. And yeah, we need to talk about Mugabe for a fucking minute. I used to support Mugabe, but when it got to the point where I could not support him anymore, I did not. And how many Hoteps, how many, you know, 100% pure Afrocentrists, how many black power advocates supported Mugabe and ignored what the fuck was happening in the country? Ignored everything. I mean, ignored the motherfucking debt that was going on, ignored the motherfucking fact that he and his wife were smuggling diamonds out to Antwerp. That there were, you know, political killings. That he wasn't allowing anybody to motherfucking challenge him. And that the cat that's up there now is just as fucked up as he is. So things aren't really going to goddamn change. You know, it's just the window dressing. Nobody in Zimbabwe that I'm speaking to or has, you know, connections there or anywhere else in that part of Africa, for that matter, is saying that they really expect any kind of a sea change. You know, it was just a matter of Mugabe had fucked up so much. You know, that he wasn't paying a lot of fucking people and shit, supposedly. And what I mean by paying people, like, he wasn't sharing a lot of the fucking ill-gotten gains with his upper fucking cabinet and military officers. And you know how that shit works. I mean, you know, as bad as the United States is, the military cannot just take over. You know, they can't do that the way they do in South America. You know, I mean, Canada and the United States, North America is somewhat safe in that. Mexico, too. You know, North America is somewhat safer in that. Even though they're trying to really blur the lines with that kind of shit. But yeah, he wasn't making a lot of payoffs, you understand? And then China is coming in and they're offering money. Supposedly the coup was orchestrated in China.
Now, you know, this is with the military cats. And then this man was out of the country, and obviously some sort of a deal was made. We've seen this kind of shit before. None of this is new. But the point that I'm trying to make is, even with Zimbabwe, he might have returned the pre-colonial name, and that's a good thing. But he kept the borders like everybody else kept their fucking borders. You know, Mozambique kept the borders they got from the Portuguese. South Africa kept the borders they got from the British. You know. I mean, what's changed? You know, Mauritania is still, you know, Africanized Africans are still pushing, you know, indigenous Africans out. And you never hear the whole Tet motherfuckers talk about that shit. You know, I mean, yeah. What's going on in Libya right now? We're looking at a film. It's not that I couldn't believe it, because I've been talking about this shit for years, but, you know, Hoteps are still denying this shit, saying that it's fake news. You know, copying the fucking white supremacist cats. I mean, that's another, you know, thing. You know, you got motherfucking Hotep cats talking about the fucking alt-right. I'm like, yeah, I know you guys like the alt-right. That's where most of your information comes from. You know, I mean, every time I've been able to get some of them to sit down with a pot of coffee and be able to fucking talk about this shit, they just can't believe that most of their fucking ideas have been coming from neo-Nazis. And a lot of it antiquated shit that's just been rehashed. I mean, you know, this old soup, and it's been reheated with some water over the motherfucking decades since the 1920s. Some shit going back to the 1880s. I mean, a lot of what the Nazis did, we've talked about it, and I've written about it in Efforts for Fascism. Get yourself a copy. AboriginalWriter.wordpress.com. You know, it's a science fiction goddamn book. One of the first. That, you know, Hitler was inspired by these weird ass ideas. So was Himmler. You know, I mean, you know, the idea of this perfect vril race of blonde, blue-eyed super people that live beneath the earth and shit that came from the black sun. Come the fuck on, man. You know, like this Nazi UFO thing his brother was trying to sell me on. Yeah, I've heard all this shit. I looked at it, and it's a whole lot of bullshit. Roswell, it's a whole lot of bullshit. Loch Ness is a whole lot of bullshit. The Illuminati died with Adam Westholt. Yeah, there might have been a couple of groups that popped up calling themselves that shit. So what? Taking this shit seriously, you're a fucking fool. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. And we're wasting time. And I know, yeah, I'm going all over the bubble, but, you know, what am I talking about here? You know, I mean, well, where was I going? I want to get women to come up here, you know, black women, native women, all kinds of women, to come up here and talk about what the fuck goes on, to hear from them. But because of the way men do shit, you know, so many, they don't want to talk about it for the obvious reasons. I mean, it's a personal fucking thing. You know, and we got this culture now where all your business is out there. You know, every time I watch television, they really exploit people, getting them into positions where they cry all the time. You know, it's really fucked up. It really means that you don't have any sense of fucking privacy, that you don't have any right to have private thoughts. That they have, like, something, you know, that happened to you that you simply want to keep to your fucking self because you know your goddamn neighbors are fucked up. I mean, in one sense, if you want to talk about things, you should be able to do that. And like I said, I'm old enough to remember when women couldn't even get a goddamn loan without a male cosigner. You know, I mean, I remember watching women get patted on the ass on the bus. I've seen this shit, so nobody has to fucking argue and try to convince me that the abuse is out here. But if you're going to fucking do this, you know, you got to motherfucking do this. You're going to have to talk about false motherfucking rape charges and how fucked up they are. Like false racism goddamn charges. All right? You know, it's not just fucked up. It diminishes any effort to deal with the real shit. And also just being punitive about it isn't going to straighten out any goddamn thing. But one of the things I'm talking about, this goddamn James O'Keefe, this dirty propagandist, Neil, he's a fucking fascist, and he makes up any kind of lies that he can. He got Akon crashed, right? I mean, I've talked about this. I wanted to work for Akon, but they didn't pay enough. So anybody wants to talk about, because they were doing this shit, oh, they're just getting rich over there. No, that's a goddamn lie. They were paying fucking minimum. And I couldn't then, and I can't now live on goddamn minimum. And I'm just telling you that motherfucking, I mean, they're still talking about defunding Akon, these dumbass goddamn Republicans. But anyway, he did some bullshit that helped get that going. And then he's been going after Democrats, you know, and Planned Parenthood, all kinds of bullshit, right? So here he gets caught somebody making a false fucking rape claim to try to get the Washington Post to basically just take any fucking claim without checking it. Which, of course, they did and found out that she was full of shit and working for this motherfucker. But the bottom goddamn line was they used the reality of what is happening to justify some a propaganda fucking move that, yeah, even though it didn't work, it doesn't fucking matter because the mud is out there already, right? But we're not having that discussion, right? So in the meantime, justice gets skewed. Justice gets completely fucked up and nobody knows what the fuck justice looks like. So, you know, that's, you know, we got some audio here that is pretty fucking amazing. So, you know, this, light one if you got one, make a pot of tea and see if you can sift through this without having too much of a fucking headache. This is The Angry Indian, and you're listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please, stay tuned.
Yes, Sinclair Skinner. You can find me at SinclairSkinner.com. Twitter at Skinner Liberated. That's Skinner, LIBER, the number 8ED. And you found me on Aboriginal Radio.
The yellow niggas, right? Look, man, I am tired of that. I am not passing. I am black. Do you hear me, man? Do you understand? I am black. I'm a nigga. Do you understand me? I was born black. I live black. And I'm gonna die probably because I'm black. Because some cracker that knows I'm black better than you, nigga, is probably gonna put a bullet in the back of my head.
Pam Grier, that one-chick hit squad who creamed you as coffee, is back to do a job on the mob as Foxy Brown.
You tell me who you want done, and I'll do the hell out of it.
She's sweet brown sugar with a touch of spice and murder if you don't treat her nice. Have no fear, Pam Grier is here. As Foxy Brown, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
एचआईभी संक्रमितहरूलाई माया ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरूको अपेक्षा होइन अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। एचआईभी अरूलाई मात्र होइन तपाईँलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
How I've been affected by gun violence over the years is through deaths of friends and family members and associates.
When I was 5 years old, I was held at gunpoint in a home invasion.
I've gone to the juvenile detention centers and I've met dozens of young kids, babies really, who have been affected by gun violence.
Directly, I've lost a few friends, but I think what why this touches my heart is having children of my own.
You know, I've been at parties where, you know, I had just left the party and, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes later, you know, I heard that, you know, somebody got shot and didn't make it.
There are a lot of people benefiting off of our pain, and it's time we do something.
I'm here to unload my investment because I think that it's important that we start kind of seeing where our money is going.
It's time to go to your financial advisor and demand that there are no gun investments in your 401k.
Even if you don't have investments, you can still help spread the word.
This is something everyone can do.
So if you push your people to have 401ks, it might be your grandma, it might be your cousin, this effort can make a big impact.
I'm unloading for my loved ones that I lost.
I'm unloading for my 18-year-old self.
I'm unloading my 401k for the future of my children.
I'm unloading.
I'm unloading for my family and their future.
I'm unloading so that my daughter can grow up in a safe, loving world.
Unload and join the movement.
Use hashtag I'm unloading to pledge your support for gun-free investing.
Hello, I'm Carol Warden. The Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center asked for your help in spreading awareness of the National Public Awareness Campaign for the availability of Plan B within Indian Health Service. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that is routinely denied to Native women at IHS facilities. Although Plan B has been available without a prescription for adult women since 2006 and as of 2009 available to women age 17 and up, it is still not provided over-the-counter at 90% of IHS pharmacies. Our goal is to ensure that Plan B is available as an over-the-counter contraceptive for all Native women and to incorporate access to Plan B into standardized sexual assault policies within IHS. We also seek to inform Native women of their right to Plan B so that they are able to make informed decisions regarding their reproductive health. Please help us get the word out. Native women are entitled to the same level of health care as all other women. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Yo, what's up? My name is Jasiri X, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really responding to the call, man, of my sister Rosa Clemente, you know what I'm saying, for Men in Hip Hop. Really stand up and say, like, rape under no circumstances is acceptable, you know what I'm saying? Rape shouldn't be rapped about. It should be supported, you know what I'm saying? And I'm really feeling like, you know, especially after Rick Ross came out today and said what he said, you know, he didn't use the word rape, but he described a scenario in which, you know, he put something in a woman's drink and had sex with her, and she didn't consent. If you have sex with a woman and she didn't consent, that's rape. And we have to say no to rape. And beyond Rick Ross, whether it's Fox News or their viewers attacking Zelina Maxwell for asking men to stop raping women, whether it's Hollywood, you know, perpetuating, you know, this rape culture, you know, it's got to stop. It's really, you know, we got to take personal responsibility as men. My name is Jasiri X. This is One Hood.
Hey, speaking of black guys and cocaine, did you see this Sarah Palin story?
Oh, man, can you imagine? But, no, you know, Glenn Rice is a very, he's a wonderful man. You know, he's just a wonderful guy. You want her to be with somebody like Rotten, and you're digging up, and you get up in there, you push your guts up in the back of her head, right? You want Rodman in there, you know, Glenn Rice, a nice, mellow, docile, black man, non-threatening guy. You want somebody like Rodman, yeah, baby. Let's get that donkey in here now. Oh, let's go get it.
Oh, it's good. It's good. No, you're good. Yeah, that's good. Oh, that was... Well, Glenn, he's 6'8".
I lose my career.
You're climbing the ladder, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. But just imagine Palin with a big old black stallion ripping, you know, like ripping. Yeah! You know, he's ripping most sailing. And I listen, most of those girls, like the most of them in life in general, you know, everybody, you've been with a black woman before, right?
Yes.
Everybody got to get that out of their system when they get out of college. Like, if you're a black man, every white girl, you know, uppity middle class, corporate owners, got to give me a black man before I go prosper in this white world. You know, at a black way, of course, we got to get some of that peak cheeks before we go back in together. Everybody got to get their share of love, you know. We should just stop racism and just all just start having sex with each other before we all stop looking like one another. You know, I'm just playing because, you know, I'm married. My wife's going to kill me with shit at her. But I feel good. I feel good.
I was dancing.
Isn't that beautiful to hear Palin got boned out by the guy? A big stallion.
Yeah, she had the black fetish and she went after him.
My sister, too, right? It was her and her sister. I read the book, too. Her and her sister was into that stuff. That's what something to that effect.
How about the cocaine? That's a surprise, too.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug, you know.
Yeah, I guess. Does she have your vote now?
Huh?
Does she have your vote now?
I'm a felon. I'm not voting anything. But the fact is that I look at it from, if this guy think he hurt her, I think he helped her tremendously. You know what I mean? All that.
Did she get the black vote now?
Well, she could always get boned out by a black person. That vote the banger or something. But other than a vote to run office, the only thing she could do is just run some nothing, Mike, because she's not a bad person because she likes black people, at least in her.
You know, when I was dancing with a sister one time at a club, I noticed all the brothers were staring right at me. So at that point, I'm like,
"Go ahead."
And you're right. I don't know how you knew that, but I was with a sister. But I was at a club and on a dance floor, and I started dancing with the girl, and I look over, and everyone, all the brothers are staring at me. It's like, okay, I like this. Now I'm going to do it out of spite.
No, they were looking at how horrible you were dancing. She had rhythm. That's what they were looking at. I do that too when I see a sister that likes a white guy. The white guy just don't know how to do it. I was like, what the? What is this? You know, it doesn't matter. What they want is what they want. You know what I mean? What they want. Oh, Sarah, oh, she's so cool. Because, you know, a lot of people thought George Bush was like a weird dude till they saw W. And this guy did W to destroy him, basically, right? Yeah. And that made him a human being, pretty much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you like him more after you saw that stuff, man. You know, that's how I feel that way, too. You know, it's just, it is what it is, man. We're human beings dealing with the journey of life.
If you see a devil, smash him.
Smash him.
Cause he ain't about to leave you alone.
Smash him.
If it's a matter of somebody has to go. Him or you.
Smash him.
If you want a clean house, he's his mess.
Smash him.
What you always got to do.
Smash him.
If you see a devil, smash him.
Smash him. Smash him.
Hey, this is Ra LaMata.
And Donna from Epsi.
And you're listening to a
Creative Commons licensed podcast.
Word.
We are confronted by, we are now being ruled by, a fascist regime. Whether we consider ourselves revolutionaries, convinced of the need for a radical overturning of the system and thorough transformation of society, or we believe that it is possible to bring about changes that will lead to a more just society within this system. Whether our understanding is that America is not and cannot be a force for good in the world, or we hope it still can become that, all of us need to come together and act together with the urgency that corresponds to the terrible present and the gravely imperiled future that this fascist regime represents for humanity. And with the conviction that something far better is necessary and possible. Thousands must be organized to take to the streets in cities all over the country, beginning on November 4, overcoming fear and feeling the strength of their common cause and action and their common aspiration and determination, making clear their resolve to not just make a statement, but to continue. And more than that, to spread and multiply their numbers and impact until millions have been mobilized and refuse to stop until the demand has been met. This nightmare must end. The Trump-Pence regime must go.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery and murder. It is not a war of each against all.
Tune in to Subversion 1312, the 4ZZZ Anarchy Show.
Tuesday from 9 till 10 p.m. on 102.1 FM or streaming 4ZZZFM.org.au.
How about trying this future on for size?
Hey everybody, it's Jake Tapper for CNN State of the Union and factcheck.org. And this week we're going to take a look at comments made by Donald Trump about President Obama and the terrorist group ISIS. Here's what Mr. Trump said on Wednesday in Florida.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS.
The next day, Trump went on CNBC and said this.
He was the founder of ISIS. Absolutely.
Is that true? President Obama, who has been sending thousands of American service members into Iraq and Syria to kill as many members of ISIS as they can, is it true that he is actually also a founder of this terrorist group? No, it is not true. Now, one could argue that President Obama is one of many leaders who made decisions that allowed ISIS to gain ground and grow. But to say that he is the founder of this terrorist group, that is decidedly 100% false. But let's go back and take a look at this larger argument that President Obama is responsible for ISIS forming. According to experts, including CNN's national security analyst Peter Bergen and Princeton professor Bernard Haykel, the rise of ISIS begins with a Jordanian thug named Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. Zarqawi was the founder of al-Qaeda in Iraq, and that terrorist group is the terrorist group that gave birth to ISIS. Now, what gave Zarqawi the opportunity to create al-Qaeda in Iraq? Well, experts say George W. Bush's decision to invade Iraq in 2003 is a decision that is one of many that allowed al-Qaeda in Iraq to gain ground. Now, yes, the war in Iraq was authorized by Hillary Clinton, but it was opposed by Barack Obama, who was in the Illinois state legislature at the time. Al-Qaeda in Iraq kept gaining strength. By 2006, it controlled much of the massive Anbar province in western Iraq. In early 2007, President Bush authorized the surge of troops into Iraq. And by the next year, 2008, the U.S. troops and others had helped remove Al-Qaeda in Iraq from the country. So how did al-Qaeda in Iraq surge back as ISIS? Well, there were five big factors. The Syrian civil war. Elements of what would become ISIS traveled from Iraq into Syria to fight against Assad. The second factor, the Bush administration decided to disband the Iraqi army back in 2003 and ban Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party. That decision led many Iraqis to join Sunni militant groups. Those groups played a role in helping to professionalize ISIS as a fighting force. A third factor, the incompetent rule of then-Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who marginalized Sunnis to the point that many of them preferred the rule of the Islamist militants in ISIS to the rule of the Shia government in Baghdad. A fourth factor, the hollowing out of the Iraqi army, which simply ran away as ISIS made its most dramatic advances during the first half of 2014. And yes, a fifth factor. According to many experts, President Obama and his administration could have fought much, much harder diplomatically to keep a U.S. presence, military presence, in Iraq even after the status of forces agreement expired. Now, it's questionable whether the Iraqi government would have allowed it at the end of the day. At that point, many experts say Iraq was more closely aligned with Iran than it was with the United States. But could President Obama have fought harder? Experts say yes. Another mistake made by President Obama is that he was slow to recognize the threat opposed by ISIS, famously referring to the terrorist group as a JV team in January 2014 in the New Yorker magazine. Since that summer, 2014, the Obama administration has mounted an increasingly aggressive campaign against ISIS, largely from the air. The administration has proven reluctant to do too much involving too many U.S. troops on the ground. So here's the bottom line. Is President Obama a founder of ISIS? No, that is patently false. It is completely 100% wrong, unless we're using some brand new definition of the word founder. But does President Obama bear some responsibility for decisions made that created space for ISIS to gain strength? Sure, absolutely, just as George W. Bush bears some responsibility for decisions made during his tenure as president that allowed al-Qaeda in Iraq, ISIS's predecessor, to also gain strength. But to say that either president is a founder of a terrorist group that they spent thousands of U.S. troops and billions of dollars trying to defeat, that's just wrong. A reminder to all you politicians out there, you're perfectly entitled to your own opinions, not to your own facts. I'm Jake Tapper for CNN State of the Union and FactCheck.org.
So much of the news this year has been hopeless, depressing, and above all, confusing. To which the only response is, oh dear. That defeatist response has become a central part of a new system of political control. And to understand how this is happening, you have to look to Russia and to a man called Vladislav Surkov, who is a hero of our time. Surkov is one of President Putin's advisors and has helped him maintain his power for 15 years. But he has done it in a very new way.
Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin.
He came originally from the avant-garde art world. And those who have studied his career say that what Surkov has done is import ideas from conceptual art into the very heart of politics. His aim is to undermine people's perception of the world, so they never know what is really happening. Surkov turned Russian politics into a bewildering, constantly changing piece of theatre. He sponsored all kinds of groups, from neo-Nazi skinheads to liberal human rights groups. He even backed parties that were opposed to President Putin. But the key thing was that Surkov then let it be known that this was what he was doing, which meant that no one was sure what was real or fake. As one journalist put it, it's a strategy of power that keeps any opposition constantly confused. A ceaseless shape-shifting that is unstoppable because it's indefinable. Which is exactly what Surkov is alleged to have done in the Ukraine this year. In typical fashion, as the war began, Surkov published a short story about something he called non-linear war. A war where you never know what the enemy are really up to, or even who they are. The underlying aim, Surkov says, is not to win the war, but to use the conflict to create a constant state of destabilized perception in order to manage and control. But maybe we have something similar emerging here in Britain. Everything we're told by journalists and politicians is confusing and contradictory. Of course, there is no Mr. Surkov in charge, but it's an odd, non-linear world that plays into the hands of those in power. British troops have come home from Afghanistan, but nobody seems to know whether it was a victory or whether it was a defeat. Aging disc jockeys are prosecuted for crimes they committed decades ago, while practically no one in the City of London is prosecuted for the endless financial crimes that are being revealed there. In Syria, we are told that President Assad is the evil enemy, but then his enemies turn out to be even more evil than him. So we bomb them, and by doing that, we help keep Assad in power. But the real epicenter of this non-linear world is the economy. And the closest we have to our own shape-shifting, postmodern politician is George Osborne. He tells us proudly that the economy is growing, but at the same time, wages are going down. He says he is cutting the deficit, but then it's revealed that the deficit is going up. But the dark heart of this shape-shifting world is quantitative easing. the government is insisting on taking billions of pounds out of the economy through its austerity programme. Yet at the very same time, it is pumping billions of pounds into the economy through quantitative easing, the equivalent of £24,000 for every family in Britain. But it gets even more confusing, because the Bank of England have admitted that those billions of pounds have not gone where they are supposed to. A vast amount of the money has actually found its way into the hands of the wealthiest 5% in Britain. It has been described as the biggest transfer of wealth to the rich in recent documented history. It could be a huge scandal, comparable to the greedy oligarchs in Russia. A ruthless elite siphoning off billions of public money. But nobody seems to know. It sums up the strange mood of our time, where nothing really makes any coherent sense. We live with a constant vaudeville of contradictory stories that makes it impossible for any real opposition to emerge, because they can't counter it with a coherent narrative of their own. And it means that we as individuals become ever more powerless, unable to challenge anything, because we live in a state of confusion and uncertainty, to which the response is, oh dear.
But coming to you live from Northeast Jefferson County, Kansas. Your one true voice in Kansas. This is the Radio Free Kansas.
I'm your host, Mike Cadell, broadcasting from North Jefferson County, Kansas, smack dab between Kansas City, Topeka, Lawrence, Atchison. Easiest way to describe it. Put together quite a good show. Think you're going to like it.
Radio Free Kansas on blogtalkradio.com/fightingcockfire.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
She loses the nomination.
I'm going to the other guy.
You would vote for McCain?
Yes. I don't feel like putting a black man in there. Not, I ain't prejudiced or nothing, but I just don't have a... I don't think he should be in there.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
It is a medical, statistical fact that in Europe, 94% of Caucasians are still to this day born with tails.
I wanted to talk about this thing called the HOTEPs. It's been getting a lot of attention lately, and there's kind of a bit of a raging conversation on quote-unquote black Twitter. HOTEPs are basically a pseudo-intellectual, pseudo-historians, conspiracy theorists, pseudo-nationalists, I mean, a lot of pseudo-everything. What they are definitely is just a bunch of misogynist, homophobic, anti-Semitic assholes who pass themselves off as intellectuals or thought leaders within the black community. We also call them Ankh Negroes. We tend not to use the term Negro. You can kind of guess what term we do use. HOTEPs are basically known for like being super Afrocentric, and but also really having a fascination, if not a total fetish, for ancient Egypt. They name themselves after Egyptian gods like Osiris or Amunhotep.
My full title is Heru, Ankh-Ra Samaj Sepetah. I'm the keeper and the elder guide of the Shrine of Ptah.
So the term HOTEP was created by Dr. Carr of Howard University, and he kind of created this sort of Afrocentric philosophy, which centered black people as being like kings, queens, you know, having like our own cultural traditions that extend beyond either the Islamic influence within Africa or the Christian influence of an African American theology. He tried to create like this own intellectual tradition, thought within Africana. It's like a way for us to connect with the diaspora.
And with your life, you must in fact leave a record for those who come after you. You must become a scribe. A sesh after me, sesh. Sesh means to scribe, to leave an inscribed record of your discoveries. Well, here are some Howard students and faculty. Love going to the Nile Valley. There again, where Louis Armstrong was in the shadow of the Hori Mekhet, the Sphinx. And there we are, love to go, because you're there on a journey of recovery. There's a Howard student staring up, looking at Ramesses II presenting justice in the form of Ma'at to his wife Nefertari in the temple at Abu Simbel, not too far from the border of the Sudan, now northern Sudan. This child just looking up like, wow. Looking at herself, really. That's her great, 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 great grandmother, long before boat rides, long before cotton fields and sugarcane fields. These are the ancestors speaking to each other. And she can read what's on those walls as she presents justice to his woman.
Why is there such a struggle to remove Black people from their history?
Oh, well, I think that's fairly straightforward. When you remove people from their memory, you can implant what you need them to do in their minds. The deliberate attempt to separate Black people from their memory, which isn't just an American phenomenon,
okay,
is what the great Kenyan writer Ngugi wa Thiong'o calls dismemberment. He says the dismemberment of Africa took place in two stages. One was the physical separation of Africans from the continent. And the other one, which he said is enduring and continues, is the deliberate separation of memory from the Black subject. So we're not supposed to think about Africa. We're not supposed to think about any connection. However, we're not supposed to question when at a police funeral, a bunch of people show up in bagpipes. Why are y'all blowing bagpipes? Well, you know, this is a tradition that Irish. Yeah, but you're not Irish. Okay, so I'm gonna put this red, black, and red. What are y'all making up that Black history again? Wait a minute.
It's just a remix, if you will, of Afrocentricity and Black nationalism, which rose into national prominence, particularly with the advent of Pan-Africanism, advanced by leaders such as W.E.B. Du Bois and Marcus Garvey, which also then found itself in Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then, of course, advanced with Malcolm X before he left in 64.
The same slave master who owned us put his last name on us to denote that we were his property. So that when you see a Negro today who's named Johnson, if you go back in his history, you'll find that he was once his grandfather or one of his forefathers was owned by a white man who was named Johnson. His name is Bunch. His grandfather was owned by a white man that was named Bunch.
Would you mind telling me what your father's last name was?
My father didn't know his last name. My father got his last name from his grandfather, and his grandfather got it from his grandfather, who got it from the slave master. The real names of our people were destroyed during slavery.
Was there any point in the genealogy of your family when you did have to use the last name? And if so, what was it?
The last name of my forefathers was taken from them when they were brought to America and made slaves. And then the name of the slave master was given, which we refuse. We reject that name today.
You won't even tell me what your father's supposed last name was or gifted last name was?
I never acknowledge it whatsoever.
It's been part of our community for a minute. Everybody within our community knows it. Maybe they don't know the exact origins of it.
Professor Yosef Binyakinen is an Egyptologist, having taught at Cornell University for over 15 years. Dr. Ben, as he is affectionately known, has lectured widely on both sides of the Atlantic. His theme, the ancient civilizations of Egypt. His presentations have placed him in great demand by students and community groups, especially those of African descent. Perhaps the high regard he enjoys today stems from his long, unwavering theme that the ancient civilizations along the Nile were African.
It came from here, whether you're Jewish, Christian, Muslim, or what, you got the basis of what your religion is here.
Dr. Ben completely fabricated his degrees, which he claimed he earned from universities such as Cambridge and the University of Puerto Rico. Because of his ability to fool his employers, he was hired to teach at City College in New York and Cornell University. His seminal work is a sort of Bible for the Hoteps, Black Man of the Nile and His Family. His academic writing was never peer-reviewed, and his so-called ancient texts were never verified by established archaeologists. Also, his writing was tinged with all-too-obvious Black supremacy.
The Greeks weren't around. Not one single Greek wasn't around when you were at the Grand Lodge of Luxor. Not a single Greek was allowed when you were at Saqqara. Not a single Greek was allowed when you were building the pyramids. The first stone structure, not one. not a Roman. There were no cracker at all around.
Dr. Leonard Jeffries is another professor at the City College of New York. The man who was at one point in charge of the Black Studies Department at the City College of New York actually got to teach students in his class that white people are ice people and that black people are from the sun.
When we make the contrast between African development in the sun and European development in the ice, the value system of caring and sharing that comes out of the sun, the value system of what I call the communal, cooperative, and collective development, as opposed to the value system of the ice. And I've given it that nomenclature because ice fits what I want to say is the value system. It's a crass individualism, taking care of me, even in neglect of your family, and a competitivism, an amoral competitivism for C. So you have I for individualism, C for competitivism, and E for exploitation, super exploitation, exploitation of by any means necessary. So it's this value system of ice which contrasts the value system of the sun, which becomes the important foundation for our understanding of human history.
They never learn to be scared. They never learn to hate. They never learn to harm people. If they wanted it, they prayed for it. And most of the time, they didn't have to pray for it because it was already there. The sun people. They lived in harmony with nature, the sun people. They believed that men should be with women and women should be with men, the sun people. They had no concepts of feminism. They had no concepts of homosexuality. They had no concepts of anything that was anti-nature because the sun people were a nature-based people. But there was another group of people called ice people. They didn't have no damn sun. Truth be told, they didn't have no damn soap either.
The Hotep philosophy advanced by Dr. Carr is a continuation of that black nationalist tradition, except in a more pan-African variety, and of course, utilizing imagery from ancient Egypt.
Heru Imaketi. How many of y'all want to call this something else? Come on, level with me. You want to call it the what? Sphinx, y'all. Come on out with it. The Sphinx, a mythological creature that comes from Europe that has wings that will kill you if you don't know the riddle. Has nothing to do with Heru Imaketi. To master your animal domain, which is like the lion, to rise to your highest spiritual nature, which is the high priest. So now, if your son says, I want to be a Sphinx, or if he said, I want to be Heru Imaketi, which one would you send to? Right. He says, Dad or Mom, I want to protect our family and our culture from sunrise to sunset. And I want to be like Heru, the champion of the people. You see, that's why we can't let other people define our stuff.
Why are the Hotep so obsessed with ancient Egypt, which they refer to as Kemet? It's for the same reason why almost everyone, including white people, are fascinated with the civilization. It is one of the earliest empires on record. They created magnificent structures, including the pyramids of Giza, and buried royals with entire tombs of treasures. As such, Egypt has embedded itself within the Western imagination. For black people, particularly, a lot of us gravitated towards ancient Egypt because it was an advanced civilization within Africa. Now, there is this ongoing controversy or debate whether or not ancient Egyptians were black. While black people, as we understand us today, particularly Nubians from the south, were present in Egypt, no one really knows if they were the majority of the population. As such, there is very little evidence to say that the people inhabiting Egypt now weren't the same people who lived there before. Now, anyone who is familiar with the transatlantic slave trade or basic migration patterns within Africa will know that us Black Americans have very little lineage with ancient Egypt. We are from this place called West Africa. Our ancestors were largely Yoruba, with a minority in the Mandinka, Igbo, and Bantu ethnic groups.
In fact, we share more culture and commonality with white Americans than we do with ancient Egyptians. Looking for my Johnny. Where is my Johnny? Johnny Bo. Do you know Johnny? Question. If I know see my Johnny, Johnny Shaw. Looking for my Johnny. I'm looking for my honey. You're telling me this, you're telling me that. I say this is not for me. What's most annoying about the Hotep's fascination with ancient Egypt is just how much actual African history they ignore. African history is far greater than just one civilization on the Nile. To name a few, you have the Mali Empire, Benin, the Zulus, the Ashanti, the Congo kingdoms, and the Dahomey. And that's just within a period of 400 years and a few hundred square miles of land. After all, we're talking about the birthplace of civilization, where society, science, and culture was developed for thousands upon thousands of years before the scramble for Africa in the 1880s. There's no need to mythologize the African continent when there's already so much there to learn and a lot more to discover. This sort of mythologizing based on ethnicity is not too dissimilar to the Aryan mythology propagated by Europeans through the 19th and 20th centuries. How did this mythology go? Well, back then, as they say, they were a race of superhuman conquerors whose science was more advanced than anything else. And then the Jews destroyed them. Yeah. One can see why this sort of reasoning is actually pretty dangerous.
The media is controlled by them, and their strategy is divide and conquer. As long as they can keep us fighting, they can always present themselves as the solution and profit. Hotep and alt-right are not fighting, so guess who's hip to the game?
When we create and breed nationalist or pseudo-nationalist myths about ourselves, it leads to lack of critical thinking, but also dehumanization of others.
If you're not of African descent, you are 96% human being only and 4% Neanderthal. Look it up, scientific fact. Only African people or people of African descent or lineage are 100% human beings. This is a scientific genetic fact. Look it up. Now, whoa, where does the difference come in? Because black people, we are the true human beings. We are true human species. All other races, as you want to call it, have a lineage of Neanderthal being genetic defects. A white person can literally catch cancer from a black person who is conscious because our bodies emit the same radiation as the sun because we are just a condensed form of sunlight. Because I'm emitting a certain level of radiation which is actually killing them on a substrate level. So a white person for too long cannot even physically survive around an intelligent black person.
And this shit is in their blood. So I'm asking your silly ass, with all the dumb shit that you talking, we don't care about nothing. The sisters doesn't want to know is you fucking crackers. Because if you fucking crackers, you got some of this nasty that's shit in you. That's right. We don't want to hear nothing else. Come on, man. Now we talk about the devil. So people say the devil don't exist. See? But there's attributes in the devil. He got that goat head. Huh? Keep it moving. Huh? Ain't that one of them K's off? Ain't that one of them Jews?
I don't know how many times I've heard Hoteps just go on and on and on about how homosexuality was not unique to the black condition until the white man bred it into us, and the reason why the white man bred it into us is so they could make black men effeminate. Like, that is Dr. Umar Johnson's central thesis.
Planned Parenthood International, the same Planned Parenthood that is giving black women abortions all across America, okay, is also the same Planned Parenthood that also contributed to the brainstorming and think tanking that went into using homosexuality as a population control strategy in the black community. And in 1972, the Rockefeller World Population Council, with influence, with some coaching by Planned Parenthood International, decided that it would be best if homosexuality would no longer be treated as an abnormal condition and that it be propagated in the black community as a healthy lifestyle choice. You have homosexual supremacy, which is the coming age of social order in the black community, where any black person, particularly black men, in order for you to be successful as an entrepreneur, as an athlete, as an entertainer, as a clergyman, okay, you're going to have to bend over and have sexual relations with a homosexual male to prove that you are still the white man's bitch.
To promote certain values, they will look for somebody and scapegoat in order to make a demon, in order for us to feel better about ourselves or for them to feel better about themselves. It's the oldest trick in the book. And then, of course, the misogyny. How many times do they call black women queens and goddesses, right? But you're not a queen or a goddess if you behave in a certain way that questions or makes men uncomfortable. So, for example, if you're out here twerking, next thing you know, you're not a goddess. Goddesses don't twerk. Goddesses don't wear bathing suits and everything. But even if they're upset at Serena Williams marrying some white guy, I have nothing to say when a black dude's marrying a white woman or going after a white woman. Like, okay, so what claim do you have?
Twirling doesn't apply to niggas, because that's not what swirling is. Swirling is that Serena shit. Swirling is our sisters running around the Salt Bay. Huh?
Everybody's mad at Serena. I need to leave her alone.
Swirling is revenge dating. You understand? Revenge porn. You're not just getting with homie because you did the research on Europeans in the conscious community and it showed you who they were, it showed you who you were, so you're probably like, fuck that. I'm going to dominate. So I'm going to get me a white boy because not only does he treat me better, I learned that I breastfed them when they were babies as a mammy. I learned that they're easier to manipulate, they're easier to deal with, they're easier to talk to. Whatever the hell is the reasoning behind this mass exodus that we're beginning to see with our sisters.
That's generally who they are. I mean, just a bunch of pseudo-nationalists, pseudo-historical, ahistorical, really, conspiracy theorists, misogynists, homophobic, anti-Semites. It's not too indifferent from the alt-Reich, as I call them. So, funny, but yeah. And show you, yeah, I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show you, yeah, I'm gonna show you, Egypt was a black land, yeah, time Mary, Egypt was a black land, King Tut was a black man.
You are listening to the Angry Indian Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
I stood up to white folks down in Georgia. I know you wouldn't believe it, but you're looking at the first and the last black man that ever went to a Ku Klux Klan meeting in Georgia and came out alive. Not only that, Malcolm was at my house when the Klan first came. They came to my house in a 10-car motorcade. And when they pulled down my block, all the blacks on the block got up and ran in the house and ran through the house. I mean, they was getting out of Dodge. So Malcolm and I, we were standing peeping out the window because they had told us they were coming. They wanted to talk to us. So they stopped in front of my door, the lead car did, and all the other cars stopped. Then they looked the house over. A cop pulled up and talked to him. He pulled away, and then they pulled away. But they went around the block and they came back again. So when they came back, a little short Klansman got out of the lead car. I mean, he was really short. He was a little over 4 feet. He came up to the door, rang the bell. I opened it. He looked at me. You Jeremiah? I said, yes, sir. He saw Malcolm standing behind me. He said, you Malcolm? No, yes, sir. I'm Malcolm. He stood there and said, well, you want to come in? He said, no, I'm not coming in yet. I'm going to tell you niggas something. If I'm not out of here in 15 minutes, we're going to burn this house down. So Malcolm said, you don't have to burn the house down. Just come on in. So he came in. He wouldn't take off his coat or his hat. But he did sit down. So he started talking. Malcolm was sort of, you know, just asking him general questions, you know, who are you, what's your name, this, that, and the other. Then he said that he had to go. In fact, Malcolm kept looking at his watch. So, in other words, after about 10 minutes had passed, he reminded him, you know, you had better go out and let your buddies know that everything is all right in here. So he went back out. He came back in. He brought a preacher, a couple of politicians from down South Georgia where Jimmy Carter lived. So down there near Plain. No, these crackers from Willacoochee, Georgia. Mean crackers. So they came in and we sat around the dining room table. And Malcolm began to talk. They started talking. And they said that, you know, you Muslims don't believe in integration. And, you know, we don't believe in it either. So, you know, we ought to get together. So this is a fact. And so we ought to get together. So we need to fight this thing. So that old Martin Luther King, he just stirring up things down here. He says that if we get together, we can fight this thing. So Malcolm said, well, what would we be called? He says, he thought about it. He said, we'll call you the Purple Robe. Malcolm said, the Purple Robe? So no, he said, we want white robes. So he said, we want white robes. He said, no, he said, no, nigga, you can't let a nigga wear a white robe. So we give you a purple robe. So Malcolm said, no, we don't want no purple robe. So then he kept talking. Then he got around to what he really wanted. And I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but this is true. They say, you know that old Martin Luther King, we can't catch that nigga. So we know he lived around here somewhere, but we don't know where. So now if y'all would just point the nigga out to us, say we'll take care of him. So Malcolm said, oh no, so we don't believe in killing our own people. They said, you don't have to kill the nigga, so we'll take care of the violence. And they were serious. They said, we'll take care of the violence. Malcolm said, no. So we're not going to kill our people. Say our people have been killed enough. I give them credit. I was sitting right there. And that was one deal that we wasn't going to go for. But if he had gone for it, Martin Luther King wouldn't have lived as long as he lived. But we don't believe in destroying our own kind for the benefit of the white man. In fact, we don't believe in destroying our own kind, period.
Right.
The only time we would even think about something like that is if you did it first. And when you, as Captain Yusuf told you, you know, you do that to us, then you got a problem. We don't have one, but you got a big one. But the KKK, they kept on talking, telling us how they had beaten up a lot of black people. And then they started talking about Jews and how they had lynched a Jew. There was a Jew that was down in Georgia that had raped a little Gentile white woman. And they had all lynched this Jew, and they thought that was a big thing. They probably lynched a lot of blacks, but they didn't want to say that while they were sitting there with us. But they were talking about how they had lynched Jews and beating up a whole lot of blacks because the blacks were integrators and they deserved to be beaten. But anyhow, he pulled out his card and he had a card with a buzzard's claw on it. He said, boy, it's the first time I ever showed a nigga this card. He said, this is our secret arm. See, y'all got a secret group called the FOI, right? So this is our thing. The claw, the K-L-A-W. So then he gave me one of his cards. I asked him for one, he gave it to me. I kept it because whenever I get stopped by them crackers down in Georgia, when I took out my license, I take out that claw card. I give him both of them at the same time. He look at me and say, "Nigga, don't go so fast the next time. You hear me?" I said, "Okay, boss." But living in Georgia during that time was really rough. But I believed in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I stayed there for almost 7 years. And I got more scratches put on me by black people than I do by them devils. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me, said, "Brother, don't fear them. Say, pray to Allah and ask Allah to take the fear out of you." And he did, and I didn't fear that devil. I stayed there and I went wherever I wanted to go, all in the backwoods, because I used to be the correspondent for Muhammad Speaks. And I used to do stories all in Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana. In fact, when the white man broke into our temple in Monroe, Louisiana, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad sent me over there to get our brother Troy Bayard out of jail. The devils had beaten him up, beaten up everybody in the temple. But I want to just digress for a moment and tell you about Troy, because Troy was a real soldier. They broke into that brother's temple down there in Louisiana, beat up men, women, and children. But Troy was a fighter. When they arraigned Troy the next day, they said, "This old nigga here kept saying, beat the white devils, beat the white devils." And that made me proud of him. I'm proud of him to this very day, because he is one of those that stood up at a time when nobody else was standing up.
Nicely played. Sachin is off the mark.
घरेलू हिंसा में बाधा डालकर उसे रोको। बेल बजाओ। घरेलू हिंसा अधिनियम पर जानकारी के लिए bellbajao.org पर लॉग ऑन करें। ब्रेक थ्रू की पहल।
Hello, I am Susan Aglukkaq. The North has the highest incidence of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, in the country. We also have a high rate of teenage pregnancies. High-risk behaviors, unprotected sex, lead to the spread of HIV/AIDS. It can be prevented. Learn the ways to protect yourself and others. Knowledge is power.
I like going to cons. I like meeting my fans. I like meeting other writers and podcasters. And I like getting a chance to meet the authors I admire, and even the occasional celebrity. You know what else I like? I like being around people, women especially, who act flirty, dress sexy, and don't mind being looked at once in a while. I'm a married man, but you know, when I stop looking, it'll be time to bury me. But you know what? Some of you fuckers are spoiling it for the rest of us. When you assholes, and you know who you are, go putting your hands where they don't belong, you're spoiling it. I've seen you fuckers. I've heard the stories. Brushing up against someone in the hall. Copping a feel when you think you can get away with it. Treating a human being like a sex toy because you think your desires and a bit of skin give you the right to grope anyone you like. You're spoiling it for the rest of us. Because you know what happens when someone gets treated that way? They retreat. They treat anyone who even looks at them as if they're committing a crime. They distrust. They dress down, trading short skirts and low necklines for loose t-shirts and sweatpants. They scorn. And eventually, they stop coming to cons at all. And then all of us pay the price because you couldn't keep your filthy paws to yourself. So get this, you goddamn dirty ape. Next time I see this happening, I'm calling you on your shit. You are going to be the one who gets humiliated. You are going to be the one sticking your tail between your legs. You are going to be the one that's sorry you came to the con. And don't think that just because you're not a man, or that your target isn't a woman, that I won't step in just as hard, because I will, motherfucker. And it goes just the same outside the con, too. Doesn't matter where I see you, I will stop you. And I'm not the only one who's going to be keeping my eye out, either. You can fucking count on it.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Go on, chillin. That's what we're talking about. We need a little help. Can't do this y'all alone. Thank God for this. Yeah. Jim Brown, y'all. Yes, this your evening. One more time. We're the ask on the chillin for get up. Get into it. Get involved. Oh, Hunter Chillin, when I have to come down here to the Gullah Geechee Nation, and so glad that Hunter to tune in to we Gullah Geechee Rhythm Radio Station. Hunter Chillin, no, this year the head from the body of this year nation and the horse of we station. Queen Quest, come on, Chillin, get involved. Get involved. Get involved to the Gullah Geechee Sea Island Coalition, the sponsor of this year radio station. Hunter Chillin, this year the we show, Gullah Geechee Rhythm Radio. Come on, y'all.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year or whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this the piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck, it's What's for Demagogue. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a listen live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio, a nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Dar.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? Head on RadioNetwork.com.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
She loses the nomination.
I'm going to the other guy.
You would vote for McCain?
Yes. I don't feel like putting a black man in there. Not, I ain't prejudiced or nothing, but I just don't have... I don't think he should be in there.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
In the geheimen Flüssen, beim Mondschein können wir küssen. In geheimen Flüssen.
welcome everyone to another regularly scheduled rerun here on the show. We do a couple of reruns a month. It gives us a little bit of breathing room to do some prep and production work here on the back end. But today's rerun is actually more regularly scheduled than that, because I always take at least one episode off for the Thanksgiving holiday. So I hope everyone is having or had a good holiday, if that particular holiday applies to you. Now, just because it's a holiday doesn't